In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God sent his Son to bring salvation to the whole world. When Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me and is baptized will be saved," he meant whoever. That is, the invitation is open to all, to every human being. When he said, "Whoever believes and is baptized," he meant that God himself comes and works faith in your heart through his spoken word and sacraments and makes you his own. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is totally God's work and gift. By the gift of faith, God makes you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower, or literally, a learner. Discipleship also, however, implies that having received the gift of faith in Jesus, there is then a following required, a learning curve. While salvation by God's grace through faith is a totally free gift of God, surprisingly, being a disciple of Jesus Christ ends up costing you everything. In today's gospel, our Lord is talking about the cost of discipleship, warning us that following in his way and his truth and in his life, it is an act of a living faith on our part. He warns us, however, that faith, when it ceases to be fed by God's word and sacrament, that is renewed by the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace in daily repentance and faith, this faith can grow weak and even die, and you stop following, and you stop learning. To become a disciple is God's work and is a totally free gift. To continue as a disciple, however, is a struggle of faith against death, the devil, and our own sinful flesh. Three times, you heard him, Jesus tells us that the right to call ourselves a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, can be lost. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Any one of you who does not renounce all he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, do you look to Jesus Christ as the highest good in your life, even over everything you have, and even above your closest relationships in the family? Are the trials and worries and sufferings of life getting to be only a loathsome burden? Or have you let God change all that to be but a faithful bearing of the cross, a sharing in Christ? Just as salvation and becoming a disciple are the gift and working of God, so the life of faith relies on God's continuing work. For we are, that is, continue to be, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, at the very end of the books of Moses, the five books of Moses, God's people are summoned to see God's salvation as a covenant, a work and promise of God, requiring us to enter and to keep the covenant by living faithfully in his word and means of grace. These continually keep them in faith, faith in the words and acts of God for them, especially everything included from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Jesus seems to suggest today that living in faith requires us to make choices. To speak of choices and decisions, I know, sounds so un-Lutheran. Well, who's making the choices? It's not relying again on your own works. Moses says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him." He invites us to choose life because he has changed us and enabled us to walk in a decisive faith. While saving faith is a gift, because I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, by that same gift of faith, however, God gives the strength, the will, to choose life, to choose it every day when death and the devil vie for our recruitment. And how does faith enable us to choose life, to continue to follow and learn from our Lord? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But this obedience is not a meticulous outward work of our own. It is rather, what's the fulfilling of that law? Loving the Lord your God. As our Lord said, the greatest commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this love, too, is a gift given to those who believe and live in the love of God. That's what we come by here every week to receive afresh. The call of God through Moses, choose life, means to faithfully walk in God's word and at his guiding. And yet this ancient invitation has taken on a new meaning for us who live in a country and at a time where and when the sin of abortion, the slaughter of our own innocence, has become both legal and publicly acceptable. I don't know which is worse. A society that has ignored and rejected God as the creator and the giver of life has not chosen life and good, but has chosen the very death and evil that still enslaves the world apart from God. This word is still true. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. Oh, maybe not right away, but maybe so. You shall not live long, much less in the new heaven and earth of eternal life. For he is your life and length of days. In other words, without God is death and shortness of life. He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land of the Lord. The Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. A real promise to real guys, to real people, real ancestors, real human beings. That land, that promised land, is not only Jerusalem of old, we find out, but the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. To choose life means to know and believe that God has chosen you. Remembering how Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." Josiah Conder, remember him? No. Back in the 1800s, captured all of this so perfectly when he penned this beloved hymn, "Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me. Thou hast from the sin that stained me washed and cleansed and set me free, and unto this end ordained me that I ever live to thee. It was grace in Christ that called me, taught my darkened heart and mind, else the world had yet enthralled me to thy heavenly glories blind. Now I worship none above thee, for thy grace alone I thirst, knowing well that if I love thee, thou, O Lord, didst love me first. If I love thee, thou, O Lord, didst love me first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.